Let's just remind our viewers right now that they're watching our special coverage of the International Quds Day. Now, International Quds Day falls at the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. It was designated by the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, as a day of showing solidarity with the people of Palestine. You can see those live images coming out on your screen. People are flocking to the streets to commemorate Al-Quds Day and to express their solidarity with the Palestinian people, with the Palestinian cause. Now, over the years, Al-Quds Day, International Quds Day, has become a rallying point for people across the world, not just for the Palestinian cause, but for all forms of oppression and tyranny in the world. Now, those are live images you're seeing coming out of the city of Mashhad in Iran. Iranians, like everyone else across the world, are taking to the streets on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. Let's just remind our viewers again that these people are fasting. They will not be eating or drinking from dawn to dusk. However, in this heat of the summers, they are taking to the streets to express their solidarity, to show that they are still with the Palestinians, with the Palestinian cause, and that oppression and tyranny in all its forms will not be accepted. This form of solidarity is shown year after year, ever since International Quds Day was declared by the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, right here in Iran. These rallies have grown from Iran to different parts of the world. Over 80 countries, Muslim and non-Muslims, commemorate these. We've seen protests take place as far away as Canada, for example. And Press TV will continue to bring you those images and reports from our correspondents as those International Quds Day rallies get underway in those parts of the world. Now, I do understand that our correspondent Salman Khujuri is also standing by live. Apologies there. It seems that he is not there with us right now. However, those are the live images you're seeing coming out of the Iranian holy city of Mashhad. Now, of course, these rallies and this International Quds Day is coming at a time when tensions have been extremely high in the West Bank, specifically the siege on Gaza continues. People there, of course, suffering after almost 10 years of Israeli blockade on their territory in the West Bank. Tensions have increased between Israelis and the Palestinians, and we've seen mass incarceration, demolition of homes, mass evacuations of Palestinians, and of course killing of Palestinians as well. Let me cross back over to Marzia, who's speaking to our panel of experts regarding the philosophy of the International Quds Day. Marzia.
Thank you so much. And of course, we'll be crossing back and forth and talking to each other all morning. And of course, our correspondents will also be joining us. Thanks so much, Kaniz, Fatima. And Professor Mousavi, looking at the situation, we've just heard a sum up by my colleague here, and talking a little bit about the history and how we got here. We look at the current situation right now that we're talking about with we were talking prior to this break a little bit about the alleged peace talks that have taken place over the decades. Mm-hmm. And now we see a critical stage once again for the Palestinians. Within the last year, we have seen basically an upping of the ante, if we want to say. This time around, though, we have also seen reactions by the Palestinians, some calling this the third Intifada. I want to look at that from October of 2015 until the present, and what has happened. We have seen more and more Palestinians being killed, and we have also seen more Israelis also being killed. Tell me about this current situation. What will it take to actually come back from this, or try to reach once again that ultimate conclusion, trying to be able to bring peace to the region?
Like you said, the situation is, of course, not good at all. I think the West and even the United States has understood that the current situation is not sustainable. The Palestinians were promised a state 2 decades ago. Of course, like I said, it wasn't a fair deal to begin with, but they didn't even get that. So the situation has gotten worse and worse. One thing that I want to emphasize here is the settlers, which are the Zionists living within the West Bank, have actually increased from 100,000 when the Oslo Peace Accords were taking place in 1993, 1994, to over 500,000 today. Mm-hmm. So they've actually grabbed even more land from the Palestinians. At the current stage, they're actually controlling all the borders, all the strategic areas within the West Bank, and the Palestinians have basically gotten, the Palestinian so-called state, future state, has gotten shrunken and shrunken into very small, smaller and smaller pieces. And as a result, as you can imagine, the Palestinians are very upset and angry about this. Since October 2015, like you mentioned, over 2,000 Palestinians have actually been arrested. Let me actually correct that. 2,000 children mm-hmm. have been arrested. And this is in an 8-month period. Over 200 Palestinians have been killed, including women and children. And we're not talking about a war, okay? So it's not two armies fighting each other. You have the Israeli army on one side. Like Dr. Mousavi mentioned, the Palestinians do not have an army. So over 200 people have gotten killed in an 8-month period, and over 2,000 children have been arrested. And unfortunately, the West and the peace, so-called peace process has actually gotten the Palestinians nowhere.
Okay, switching over to Beirut and Mr. Mousavi, when we look at the situation that we've been talking about, and especially since October of last year, and Professor Mousavi here in the studio with me explain for us the number of settlers and how they have expanded, and of course the settlements and how they've expanded. What does Israel want to do? Obviously, Tel Aviv should know that when they continue to grab more and more land and they continue to put more and more so-called settlers in the middle of this land, that that is going to raise the level of friction. And obviously, I'm sure even Tel Aviv does not want this type of anxiety. So what is it that Israel is really trying to do?
Well, Israel is indifferent about any kind of international reaction towards its actions. Israel is not afraid of the Arab world because most of the Arab governments are giving more presents and prizes to the Israelis. And there is no Arab state, there is no one single position or stand that is supporting the Palestinians. Let's put it frankly in a very straight way. We have the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have Syria, we have the axis of steadfastness and resistance that is supporting the resistance and liberation movements inside Palestine. Other than that, Israel is not afraid of any international body that could come and hold it responsible for its atrocious actions in Palestine. It's not afraid of the Western world. It's not afraid of the so-called international community. Where is the international community? Where is the Security Council? Israel has always slammed and pushed away and violated the international conventions, the international constitution, the international resolutions. They don't care. They don't feel afraid. They don't feel that they are going to be held responsible. That's why they continue to expand their settlements. They continue to attack the Palestinian civilians. They continue to expand their detentions in the detention center. Gaza itself is a huge prison in which the Palestinian people there are imprisoned. They don't allow them to take the least of the humanitarian aid. You see that they cannot build their own houses. They cannot have any exit to any place in the world without the acceptance of the Israelis, the permission of the Israelis. They are not allowed to have even medical supplies. So everything is being like rationed in such a way as to compress and to try to gag the Palestinian people. So at this point, I believe that the Israelis are feeling very relaxed and very easy about their situation. Unless you have a real resistance, which does exist now, we talk about Hamas, we talk about hopefully about Hamas, and we talk about the Islamic Jihad, we talk about the other liberation movements. They are all there, and they try as much as they can to hold their steadfastness in order to stand up to any Israeli aggression. But everyone knows that the Israelis are not afraid of the so-called international community. They will continue. They will raise more and more of their settlement activities because there is no international community. There is no other force in the world that is pressuring them.
Okay.
The Arabs are giving them presents. The Arabs are not giving any importance. You have the Islamic Republic of Iran, which always, it is, as I said, a fixed policy in Iran, always. Iran is always there. While if you want to talk about the Arab world, even some of the governments, they used to support the Palestinians, to support them like it's like a lip service. They used to ration this and accordingly. If they want something, they will support them.
Okay.
Iran
stay
is the only
Mr.
state
Ibrahim
in the
Musavi.
World that
stay
continues to
me,
support
sir.
In a fixed way.
All right, stay with me, sir. Actually, both of my guests' last names the same, Mr. Musavi, so I definitely got to get the first name in all this, too, Professor Hamid Musavi. Looking at what our guest in Beirut has just said and talking about basically the Arab governments and the lack of support by the Arab governments for Israel, how do you explain that? If there is someone that is not that aware of the whole Palestinian situation and they would look, well, the Arabs are not even supporting the Palestinians themselves, the Arab governments are not supporting the Palestinians themselves. Why is that the case?
Well, I think, first of all, like my colleague in Beirut mentioned, the reason the Israeli government does not care or cares little about the international community is mainly because they can basically get away with anything. The United States has vetoed 42 UN Security Council resolutions in favor of Israel. As everybody knows, Israel has over 200 nuclear weapons, and there's been no repercussions about that either. Regarding Arab governments and what you mentioned, I think, first of all, some Arab governments like Saudi Arabia and Qatar have actually been distracted and very involved in Syria. Rather than dealing with the Palestinian issue, they have actually raised quite a lot of instability in Syria.
Well, doesn't that say a lot in itself that
exactly.
Syria would be more of a priority
right.
for them than Israel?
And actually, one of the reasons Israel has been able to get away with what it's doing, especially in the past 8 months, is because all the international attention has been focused on Syria. Regarding Arab governments, I think it's really important to consider the fact that within the region, and this is no secret, they're in the camp of the United States. So basically, when you're in the camp of the United States, you have to follow their lead. This has not been the case all the time. As you know, for example, Egypt during the time of Gamal Abdel Nasser was the champion of Palestinian rights. Mm-hmm. But as soon as the Egyptians basically changed their international orientation in favor of the United States, then of course you have to follow their lead. And the Egyptian government has actually been one of the primary reasons why the Israelis have been able to put a blockade on the Gaza Strip. I mean, if the Egyptians would allow Palestinians crossing from the Gaza Strip, there would be no blockade. So they're actually a very strong partner with the Israelis in regards to the blockade issue.
All right, well, let me cross back over to Kaniz Fatima and see what she has for us now. Kaniz, take
thank you, Marzi. We've been listening in on both the Musavi's comments there regarding International Quds Day. We're bringing this special coverage to our viewers, people flocking to the streets there. These commemorations have started getting underway here in Iran as well. We were showing you live images coming out of Mashhad, and now I'm just going to cross over to our correspondent Amir Mehdi Kazemi, who's standing by right here in the capital, Tehran. Now, Amir, I understand that the crowds have started pouring in. Tell us a bit more whereabouts in Tehran you are and what's going on.
Well, actually, I'm standing somewhere near in Inqilab Street, near the University of Tehran, where crowds have been pouring in since an hour ago. Right now, it is beginning to turn, the rally of the World Quds Day is beginning to turn into a million-strong rally in Tehran, along with the rest of the major cities across the country. People have been holding placards and moving towards the University of Tehran. On these placards, you see different slogans regarding the issue of Palestine and chants against, in opposition and against the U.S. and Israel over their support on what is happening towards the people of Palestine, the issue of occupation and the killing of innocent Palestinian civilians. Right now, people from all walks of life, different ages, different social classes have been taking part, and the rallies will end up in the vicinity of the University of Tehran, where the last Friday prayer of the holy month of Ramadan will be taking place. Of course, a sizzling summer heat in the Iranian capital, which is nearly 40 degrees Celsius right now, has not prevented the crowds from pouring into the streets and taking part in this national day.
Indeed. Amir, year after year, we've seen these rallies taking place right here in Iran and also outside of Iran. And as you've just mentioned, the temperature is quite high. The people are fasting. They can't eat. They can't drink. And yet they're out there to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people and the Palestinian cause. Now, over the years, as a journalist who's been covering these rallies regularly, how do you interpret the numbers that you continue to see growing year after year on the streets?
Well, during the years since this International Day was established and named by the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, this has turned into an identity, a part of the dignity for the Islamic, for the Muslim nation across the world. That's why the legacy of this day and the issue of Palestine and the fighting for the rights of the Muslims in Palestine has become a matter of dignity for all Muslims across the world. That's why they have continuously passed this legacy from one generation to the next. That is why we see old people who took part in the first rallies more than three decades ago, and then you see little children holding placards and accompanying their parents and their grandparents here. So this is very much this has very much to do with the identity of Muslims, the issue of Palestine and the oppression of Israel against Palestinians in their own land.
All right, this press news, Amir Mehdi Kazemi. They're standing by in Tehran near the University of Tehran. Amir, we'll continue to get more updates from you as these commemorations get underway, of course. Now, we're going to take our viewers back to some of the images that are coming out from other parts of Iran as well. It's not just the capital Tehran, which is witnessing these rallies. That's the holy city of Mashhad on your screen right there. People in large numbers, they're flocking to the streets to express their solidarity with the people of Palestine, different Iranian cities. But it's not just here in Iran, but people from different walks of life take to the streets in different countries, not just Muslim countries, but non-Muslim countries as well. This last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, known as International Quds Day, has become a rallying point against tyranny and oppression. Of course, the focal point being the Palestinian cause. Now, Marzia, as you've been talking to your panel of experts there, it is interesting to note year after year as these rallies take place, how for many, not just Muslims, but people from all across the world, the issue of Palestine epitomizes that war against right and wrong, evil and good.
Yeah, definitely, indeed. And of course, as you said, and also Amir Kazemi said, it is spreading throughout the world, not just Muslim countries, also non-Muslim countries. I do think, Kenny, is one thing significant that you pointed out for our viewers to understand that it is the month of Ramadan. People are out on the streets and they are fasting, not able to eat, not able to drink. And we're talking about very high temperatures, actually, as we are smack in the middle, actually, of summer. So we're talking about high temperatures, I know, here in Tehran and many other cities in the world. What does that say, Mr. Mousavi? Professor Mousavi, why are people seem to be so committed or dedicated to make the point, as my colleague here said, it's almost as if there's that line drawn between good and bad. What is it about the Palestinian situation that we see this type of emotion and this type of support in much of the world?
Well, actually, Ramadan is not only, as you know, about fasting, it's also highly about fighting oppression and fighting evil. So I think the Palestinian issue is one of the core issues within the international community right now. that needs special attention. And as you mentioned, I mean, the Quds Day takes place around the world, including in Palestine. Nevertheless, I think largely it's a symbolic demonstration, which will hopefully give hope to the Palestinians. At the end of the day, it's the Palestinians that need to, you know, focus their energy and fight and resist to fight the occupation. Also, I think it's really important in the Arab world, where hopefully people will turn these demonstrations into pressure on their governments to hopefully change their policies, to not support the Israeli occupation, and hopefully put pressure on the Israelis to withdraw and not to commit all these war crimes that are taking place right now.
Well, what about that, Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi, in Beirut, putting pressure on Israel? We see now even the boycott, divest, sanction movement, BDS movement, actually gaining momentum throughout the world. And immediately we see reactions from unbelievable countries and how they have reacted, trying to either block the BDS movement, punishing entities that try to actually boycott or sanction Israel. So tell me what has to be done in order to reach that point to be able to pressure Tel Aviv, because we're seeing like the United States and even Canada and other places actually trying to force the hand of those who are trying to put pressure on Tel Aviv.
Well, yes, I mean, I believe the most important thing is to continue this campaign of awareness among the people, among the elite, among the journalists, among the civil society. The civil society should understand in the West that it is responsible for what's happening to the Palestinians, and they are accomplices, they are partners in what's happening. When you elect an MP, when you elect or when you choose a certain cabinet member, a minister to a certain place, and they carry out policies that is supporting Israel, that is against the Palestinians, then you are, as a civil society member, you are helping and supporting and enjoining the bad against the good. They should understand that they should hold their government responsible, especially in the Western world, where you have check and balances, you have questions, you could hold the responsibles or the officials responsible for their actions. They should tell them very bluntly and very frankly and very directly and openly that unless you change your policy, if they really believe in the Palestinian people and the Palestinian cause, they should hold them responsible and tell them, we're not going to elect you again if you continue to support Israel. I believe the only way, now we talk about the BDS, we talk about boycotting Israel in the academic circles, but this is not going to gain momentum, this is not going to change or pressure Israel to change its policies. Of course, the Palestinian people should defend themselves. Of course, Palestine should be liberated just like any other occupied territories. But when we talk about the people, the choice of the people, they should have enough determination and resolve to pressure their own governments. Of course, not in the Arab world, because most of the governments in the Arab world are being installed or supported by the United States, the number one supporter of Israel. According to the Western world, to the societies themselves, yes, they have to raise and they have to mount their pressure against their own governments, against their MPs in the circles, to have a say in the policy making in their own countries. And I believe this way they would be able really to push further to open a loophole in this blockade against the Palestinians. Otherwise, I believe the Israelis, they are not so pushed or so pressured to hear some of the, if you want, the speeches here and there. We need actions to be taken, and actions are being taken by the elite, by the people, by the young generation, who should hold their governments responsible.
Thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi, political commentator out of Beirut. I understand you have to leave. We appreciate you being with us on the special coverage of International Quds Day right here at Press TV. Mr. Hamid Mousavi, Professor Mousavi, we look at the situation with Israel, and as our guest had said in Beirut, that lack of pressure by the so-called international community. Why is that the case? We see this absolute blind support, for example, from the United States and others. Even we have seen recently out of New York, actually, the governor basically going against the entities who were trying to actually sanction Israel, whether it was universities or companies, and basically punishing them. And we have seen the same thing actually take place in Canada. Why is that the case? Why is it so correlated, Washington and Tel Aviv, and this ultimate blind support of that regime?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that I actually think that the BDS could be very effective in the long run. I mean, the very fact that they're fighting it means that it's been effective, at least to a degree. The reason the civil administration within Palestine, as well as civilians all over the world, have taken on BDS is exactly because of what you said. There's been no action by governments, as well as by international institutions such as the UN. And when I mean actions, I'm not talking only about declarations. Of course, we have declarations regarding the halting of settlement expansions. Yet there have been no sanctions, actual sanctions on Israel, forcing it to change its policies. Regarding your question about the United States, if I want to be completely blunt, I don't really think they care about the Palestinian people. The world works according to power relations. The United States has a very strategic relation with Israel. The Israelis, the Zionists, have a very strong lobby within the United States. I mean, for example, right now it's an election year. You have a person like Donald Trump who gets a promise from Sheldon Adelson, the biggest contributor within the United States regarding elections, for $100 million. And as soon as he gets such a pledge, he changes his position regarding the Palestinian-Israeli issues. So there's the question of money, there's the question of power. On the Palestinian side, yes, there is the question of human rights, but they don't really have a lot of money to spend. They don't have, so they are the weaker party that are being oppressed in this situation.
So it's all about the money in the day? Is it about the money?
It's all about power. Mm-hmm. Might makes right. So at the end, I mean, and this is not a unique situation. Even the apartheid going on in South Africa, which was going on for decades, you had a lot of countries supporting that, including Israel, by the way, which had a very strategic relationship with apartheid South Africa. But at the end of the day, it was the people that forced their governments to change their position on the issue. And that's why I think the BDS movement can be very effective and successful in the long run, to hopefully change the policies of governments such as the United States, as well as in the Arab world. The BDS movement right now is mostly centered within Western countries, but I think it should actually carry over to the Arab world, where people can hopefully force their governments to change their position on the Israeli-Palestinian issue.
Well, when we look at the situation, you talk about what the BDS movement, for example, in the Arab world, and of course we do know that the Palestinian issue is an issue that's important for Arabs, for Muslims, and non-Muslims in the region. And yet, of course, their governments do not represent the will of the people. What has to happen here in this area to change that?
I mean, like you say, there is a strong gap between how the people feel regarding the Palestinian issue and how Arab governments act regarding the Palestinian issue. Of course, let me mention this in a bracket, that Arab governments also support Palestine in terms of rhetoric. But when it comes to actual policy, like I said, the case of the Egyptian government helping the blockade of the Palestinian people. So even if you talk about supporting the Palestinians, it's your actions that matter at the end of the day. You point to one of the critical weaknesses of the Muslim world regarding the Israeli-Palestinian issue, and that is the lack of democracy in many Arab countries. And that actually weakens the civilian sector in forcing the government to change. When you have democratic means, of course, you can better and more effectively change government policy. But in dictatorships such as Saudi Arabia, for example, whatever the king does, even though it's been even controversial within Saudi Arabia, even within the royal family, the actions of King Salman, for example, in the past year, there's really no repercussions. I mean, there's no elections, so they don't really care, right?
Is that part of the whole strategy, actually, at keeping the Muslim world very busy, keeping the Muslim world, many would say, having these puppet regimes in place that actually, as I said earlier, do not reflect the will of the people? So the people are there busy dealing with the rulers of their own regime, and a lot of times are thrown off as far as really concentrating and being able to do anything tangible against the regime in Tel Aviv. How do you see that part of it?
I mean, that's completely correct, and this is why democracies in the region are actually really bad for Israel, for Tel Aviv. I mean, you had democratic elections in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank, right? And who won the elections? It was Hamas. And this was an election that was actually monitored by American agencies, and they all agreed that it was a fair election. So when the will of the people speaks at the end of the day, it's really bad for Zionism. But when you have governments and regimes that do not reflect the will of the people, of course they can be controlled, they can be bought, and at the end of the day, the most important issue they care about is to stay in power. So democracy is essentially not really good for Tel Aviv.
All right, well, thank you so much for being with us, Professor Hamid Mousavi, professor of at the University of Tehran. We appreciate you being with us for the special coverage of International Day of Quds 2023.